Craig, don't hate me, guy. What's my head?
That Craig will raise hypocrites in increase.
Guy, I don't clear you, Sha. I know they follow me. You just see my tie again. I don't clear you.
They were like that. What's up, everybody? Great to have you here once again with us. Hope you had a very, very good weekend. Like myself, I enjoyed my weekend. So, without further ado, welcome to the latest episode of Falconer Podcast. So, Josh, how are you doing, man?
I'm great. I enjoyed my weekend as well. I'm not so sure Kepa, Tuchel, Chelsea fans, and Mason Mount enjoyed their weekend, though.
Yeah, I think especially someone like Mason Mount
don't get me started on that guy. That guy is the most overrated player on earth. Like the most overrated, not one of the most overrated player on earth is Mason Mount.
His defensive number 10 I've seen in my life.
Oh God. So let's start from that game. But still on Mason Mount first before I actually go to analysis. His best Harry Maguire, Marcus Rashford. I mean there are a lot. These are just a few in world football. Bruno Fernandes, Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka. If I just put United and Chelsea squads, and you have some of the most overrated players in world football.
Do you know what's funny? Like, with all the names you mentioned, there's something that they all have in common.
They're English.
No. They have a level of mediocrity in all of them.
Of course not. That's why they are overrated. That's the point. They are overrated because they are not good enough to the hype. Right. Now what I'm saying now, I know fanboys that cannot comprehend English are going to listen to me and say, What is he saying? Now, overrated does not mean they are not good at all. It means that they are rated higher than what they actually are. So, for example, now, if Mount is a 7 or a 6 out of 10 player, he is rated like a 9 out of 10 player. That is called overrating. It does not mean Mount is bad. It just means that his reputation is higher than what he actually does. That is the meaning of overrated.
Okay. I see what you're saying. But at the end of the day, like going back to the Chelsea Liverpool game, I feel like Mason Mount didn't cover himself in glory. Like, how would I put it? I, people listening.
Guy, put it like this. Put it like this. You know me, I'm your guy. I cannot play football, but I would have scored those two chances. That's how bad it was. Just put it like that. Don't say too much.
I would have scored those chances. Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but let it not be like what we're just being one-sided here. I feel like the Chelsea Liverpool game, yeah, this is my own analysis. Let me just put it short and sweet. The game was a very, very good game. Like, that is one of the best nil-nil game I've seen in a long time.
Probably the best.
The game was nil-nil, but it had so many action, so many exciting elements about the game. But what I just want to highlight is, when you look at both teams, I can say that Liverpool had their moments, Chelsea too had their moments. They were relatively even, but Chelsea had the better clear-cut chances. That's what I would just say. So I won't say like Chelsea had the best. Chelsea had the best chance.
Would you say now with what you said? Would you say, is it the same thing as saying Chelsea deserve to win? Because I don't get when you said Chelsea had... Like, okay, some people want to understand. Does it mean Chelsea deserve to win?
I won't say Chelsea deserve to win. Here's why. Because like I said, they looked even with my eye. Chelsea had their moments, Liverpool had their moments.
Yeah, definitely.
But the thing is, Chelsea's own moment was much more better than Liverpool's moment. Like Chelsea's chance to score was much more better than Liverpool's. Like I feel like if Liverpool had had the chances Mason Mount and Christian Pulisic had, Liverpool would have buried it
easily.
With Chelsea show.
Easily. Though having said that, Salah missed a big chance, Mane missed a big chance, the rebound from Keita's shot, fantastic double save from Mendy. More Mendy in a moment. So that's two big chances. Chelsea missed three or four big chances with Mount responsible for half of that. But all in all, I'll say it was a fantastic game. But then a bit of controversy. Let's start with the red card incident. We are both in agreement that Keita should have seen red, right?
Yes. That was a blatant red card.
He matched Trevor Chalobah's balls. Like, girls cannot understand the pain of something hitting your... I cannot even watch it. Like, I cannot watch the replay. I feel somehow. That's how bad it was. Like, guys. Like,
as we speak, I'm not even talking about...
They didn't even give a foul. What the hell? They did not even give a foul. That's the head-busting part. Like, it was not a foul to the ref. Like, not to even talk of a yellow or a red. It was not a foul.
This is my issue with the I know this is not in Premier League games, but this is not a Premier League game, but the
I mean it's still the same people now.
Yes, the officiating in England is terrible. I mean we'll get to the Manchester City one in a moment. But like it's so terrible that at the end of the day I feel numb to it because I don't feel like any club has been betrayed because I'll tell you now, it has favored Liverpool. Like, for example, I was hosting a room on Clubhouse and people were saying Manchester City...
The FA is supporting them, blah, blah, blah.
The FA is supporting them. 24 hours later, now Liverpool has
supported Liverpool in the...
So, like, you can see, at the end of the day, me, I don't feel...
Is it possible that the FA were like, oh, we robbed Liverpool for the City game, so let's reward them in the cup final?
Like you, okay. What we now say when Everton could have gotten a red card when this guy, I've forgotten his name, he stepped on Martinelli's face. Do you remember that incident? Arsenal versus Everton. That red card.
I'm trying to remember the player.
He's an Everton defender. I've forgotten his name. But that incident, that was a red card.
Is it Kane?
No, he's not Kane.
He's not
Kane. As far as you remember
Holgate. Missing Holgate, is it?
No, he's not Holgate. Wait. Let me see if I can remember.
Let's just move on. If you remember later on, you say it.
So, but bottom line is Everton gained from it. Like at the end of the day, the bad decisions has favored every club. So that's why, like, I'll put it like this: I don't feel for the oppressor, and I don't feel for the oppressed in this case.
So one more thing I'll say. I feel like if this was the Champions League final, it would have been a red card because officiating in Europe is much better than in England. So that's for me. I feel that it would have been called as a red card and probably the law would have stood because actually the letter of the law in England says it's offside. But I mean, common sense should tell you that your armpits should not be offside in a final, for God's sake.
The issue with the Lukaku one was the way they drew the line. So I don't understand where they want to pick and say, because you know if you're going by the handball rule, where they
usually, you
exactly
Ben-Gon.
Where they usually pick where they usually pick the hand from, that means Lukaku is not offside. Like, you remember where the sleeves, like, if you go and look at the infographics of the handball, law in England, where they took Lukaku's arm from to judge that offside.
That's handball. Right, that's handball, right?
Yeah. So let me give an illustration now. So now, you know the way our arm is from our shoulder down to our finger. Mm-hmm. Now they took the Lukaku line towards a part where it's closer to our elbow. But they were supposed to take the line from a part where our
his sleeve, right, where he can actually score
where his sleeve or where a shorter distance from our armpit area to just before you get to our elbow. Do you understand?
But you know the thing is they were just looking for opportunity. It was just like that the FA bet on the match to end goalless, because it was just like they were looking for reasons to cancel goals. And I can understand the cancellation of Havertz's goal. I can understand the cancellation of Matip's goal. This one, I can still understand it in terms of is the nonsense that they usually do. But just from a neutral point of view, it doesn't just sit right with me as in the spirit of football that something like that should be termed offside in a final.
For me, I don't even see it as offside.
I don't see it as offside, but in terms of what they've been doing, I can understand it as offside. I personally wouldn't give it offside, but I can understand it being called offside. I don't know. That's just what I see. Now let's talk about this Kepa Mendy incident, because we had a big argument already a few minutes ago, because I'm of the opinion that Kepa should not have been bought on. You're of the opinion that he should have been bought on. So give your side of the argument before I bombard you with my own facts.
Okay, my own is very simple. Mendy had a fantastic game, but like Tuchel has shown.
Oh, there's a bot.
Just hear me. Like Tuchel has shown, Kepa seems to be the guy he trusts the most taking penalties. And when you look at it, it has worked in three occasions where Kepa has gone into a shootout in three occasions. So, and I feel like if he had not done that, we'll still criticize him and say, oh, why didn't he go with Kepa since he has shown
we,
that
sorry,
Kepa...
Sorry, who is we? Who is... Don't speak for me. You would still criticize
him. I'm not speaking for you. Nope, you have your chance to clarify. But at the end of the day, we still, like, the truth is there's no right or wrong in this situation. He went with the trump card that he felt like could actually win him something, but at the end of the day, it didn't pan out. So, and the media could have still criticized him if he hadn't done something like that. So at the end of the day, like, it's just the way football is. So I understand where people say, I understand your own side of the argument, but at the end of the day, you need to understand that the manager still knows his best players that should be in the right frame of mind taking penalties. I'm not saying Mendy is a terrible goalkeeper taking penalties. He's decent, but it seems like Kepa is better, and the record or the data backs that.
Now, first of all, shove that data inside the dustbin. It is completely useless, null and void. You see this whole Kepa coming on for penalties thing. Let me start with Mendy. Mendy had one of the games of his life. I thought I was watching prime Buffon in goal, because Mendy was absolutely superb. Arguably the man of the match alongside Kelleher as Liverpool's keeper in the entire match, as well as Luis Diaz was fantastic for the outfield players. So that's that. You have a keeper that performed so well, that was confident, that is already one of the best keepers in the world, that he has been so good in the match that him in the goal, in the shootout, will place a seed of doubt in the Liverpool players' mind. Like, they will second-guess themselves, because he's so tall and so huge that he already covers the goal to a large extent. And then his form, some players would have been scared of facing him, basically. But let's even keep that aside. You said something. Kepa has kept 3 penalty shootouts, right?
Yes.
Not just 3, but like the last 3. But then he came on as a sub for just one of them. Let's not people keep forgetting this. You keep 3 penalty shootouts, you win all 3, all well and good. But then you played the full match for 2 of them. So for me, that doesn't really count. You were not voted on just for the penalties. This is just the second time Kepa is being voted on for just penalties. He worked in the Super Cup against Villarreal. Does not mean you should do it every time. There should be common sense. A coach should be smart enough to know that Mendy is in such good form today that I should not take him off. Because this is just if Tuchel had done this whole Kepa coming on as a sub like 4 times and it had worked the 4 times and this was the 5th time and it didn't work, I'll say, oh well and good, fine. But you've done it just once. If you do something once and you're bragging that you have a 100% record, I think that makes you a fool. So for me, Chelsea fans and Tuchel saying they've done it before is absolute nonsense because they've done it only once before. Doing something, getting 1 out of 1 is not success rate. You can't, there's no basis of judging success that way. Secondly, there's this notion where people just assume that Mendy is a bad penalty keeper, and that is nonsense. Mendy has kept 2 penalty shootouts in the last few years. He kept 1 against Tottenham in this competition early in the competition last season. Chelsea lost 5-4 on penalties. Guess who lost Chelsea's only penalty of the night? Surprise, surprise, it was Mason Mount. So Mendy didn't save any penalty that day, and obviously Chelsea fans were annoyed that day that Mendy was useless in the penalties, blah, 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 blah. And because it was a new signing then, you know, the hammer came down on him really hard. And then since then, he has not been in goal for any shootout. He's not making a bad keeper in shootout, for God's sake, 0 out of 1. He has not been given enough opportunity to prove that he's actually a good penalty keeper. We saw the same Mendy save a penalty when Senegal won the AFCON just the same February, just 3 weeks before Sunday's final. So now Mendy has 1 out of 2, the Tottenham game and the AFCON final, while Kepa has, I think, 4 out of 6. No, 3 out of 6, if I'm not, or 4 out of 7. He lost the other Carabao Cup final against Man City. He lost this one. So it's not like Kepa is perfect. So I don't, this whole mentality of, oh, Kepa is a great penalty keeper, I don't know where it came from.
Okay. Let me put it like this so that you understand where I'm arguing from. So you remember the Champions League final?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember Guardiola made 2 tweaks. He didn't start a DM in that match. And he now started Raheem Sterling, who has been on and off for him throughout the season. Remember? So now Guardiola Guardiola tampered with his own 11 and formation. Guardiola tampered with his own formation that has been working for him throughout the season. It has been working, it has been getting him results. But at the end of the day, he now tampered with it. And at the end of the day, what do? We criticize him for tampering with something that has been working. We're speaking from hindsight, but for example, if he had gone with the same lineup that we usually expect.
Wait. I want to understand how this relates with the Chelsea own. So, like,
don't worry, you understand. Don't worry. Let me learn. So, assuming Guardiola went with the lineup that we expect him to go with, and Chelsea still won. Of course, people will criticize him, but we all know that, yes, he did what he's expected to do. Now, with the Mendy and Kepa situation, Kepa has shown in 3 different occasions that he's very good at spot kicks.
Wait.
No,
let's not.
Wait, you had the chance to speak.
I just want to say something to that statement. Kepa is very good. Does that make him better than Mendy? Because Mendy has not been given enough opportunity. Like I said, in a Chelsea jersey, Mendy has had only one shootout. Kepa has had...
So
someone having 0 out of 1 and someone having like 4 out of 6 or 7, does that mean the person with 0 out of 1 is bad? He has not had enough chances.
Okay. Now, so at the end of the day, what I'm putting down to is, because I myself, I don't feel I know more than the manager. I feel like the manager knows what he's doing. He says that the manager
knows. That's why they lost.
Let me land. Oh my God, you're making it now petulant. Let me land. The manager made the first made it very clear that Kepa is his penalty taker when he did that substitution against Villarreal. When Kepa came on from the bench to save those spot kicks. So now I'm not looking at it like, oh, that means the manager. I've seen both of them in training because the manager works with these players every day and he has seen both of them in training. And obviously, he feels like Kepa is a bit. Let me land. You had your chance to say your submission. Let me just say mine. He has seen both of them in training and he feels like Kepa has shown that he's a bit better than Mendy as spot kicks. That is why he's going with that same formula because that formula has worked in 3 different occasions. Kepa being in a shootout and saving spot kicks. So at the end of the day, like I don't see any issue there with the manager trying something that he knows that he has tried before and it has worked for him. So I feel like the criticism should come where he's trying something that he has done before that has worked and he's not trying to do it again. So now he has tried something that he has had a good amount of success rate. Now it has obviously failed, no problem, but now he has learned from it. So we're not speaking from hindsight now because we saw the result. Like I feel like the argument to me, there's no right or wrong in it. Whichever one he had gone with, there will still be criticism.
Okay, so you said Kepa has been better in training. To me, that is absolute nonsense. Because in penalties, there is technique for only playing penalties. You play to the top corner, the keeper has absolutely zero chance. You play to the bottom corner, the side netting, the keeper has zero chance. But a keeper diving is just guessing. So you cannot, there is no scientific method to it. There is no planning. There is no, the only planning comes with the team and the scouts, the goalkeeping team and the scouts telling them. This is where, for example, now they faced Liverpool. So the goalkeeping unit, their job is to say, okay, this is where Salah usually plays his penalties, Mane, and all. This is where they usually play their penalties, Milner, and the rest of the team. Not for, and then that's the job of whichever of the keepers to dive to that place that they say, okay, Salah plays 7 out of 10 penalties to the right. Then the job of Mendy or Kepa is to dive to the right. Now, if Salah plays it to the left and eventually scores, and good, you did your research, you did your job. But not for you to put a keeper on as a sub based on you think he's lucky. That is nonsense. That is what an amateur coach should be doing, not a coach of a club like Chelsea. Now, another thing I want to say is, so to me, there is no such thing as a better keeper in penalty. There's something like a keeper who researches. I've seen Tim Krul and Emi Martinez, 2 keepers who are regarded as very good penalty keepers. And you can see them in penalty shootouts. They have water bottles with them where they look at where kickers, penalty takers play their penalties. I've seen Martinez with water bottles of 10 players listed. Okay, if it's this guy, I go to the left. If it's this guy, I go to the right. That is it. Kepa has no such water bottle with him. Kepa just, vibes and inshallah. Okay, let me dive left. Let me dive right. Is that the reason you're bringing him on? I've not seen any proof that Kepa does extensive research. I've not seen any water bottle. I've not seen any face towel that has anything inside. I've not seen any notes. So, Chelsea Football Club is relying on Inshallah vibes to win a penalty shootout. That is a shame and an absolute disgrace. Now let's talk about.
See why this argument doesn't. It looks like you're just picking what you want to argue about. For a coach, let's not act like these guys are not professionals. For a coach to have how many months to prepare for a final, and now he's now bringing on a goalkeeper.
Based on what?
Are you not telling me the coach and the staff? Are you not telling me that the coach and their staff do not work with Kepa to do research on the penalty takers for Liverpool?
They didn't work on research. You know how you know that they didn't work on it? It's from Tuchel's post-match press conference. He said that Kepa is better at saving penalties in training. I'm like, okay, is it training with the Liverpool players? I'm sorry. Did Kepa have to save penalties of Chelsea players or Liverpool players? If he's good in training at penalties, is it not because he's training against Chelsea players? So where's the logic here? You're training against Chelsea players, but you're on the pitch to save Liverpool players' penalties. So you being better in training against Chelsea players is absolutely irrelevant because they're not the ones.
Okay, by your logic.
I just want to say something to what you're saying now.
You see where the logic is flawed? Wait. I want you to understand the logic you're using now. So by your logic now, that means, for example, I'll give you an example. That means Havertz should not play because Havertz looks good in training, but he's playing against his own fellow Chelsea players. So is he playing against Liverpool players to know?
That's different. It's penalties.
No, that is the same
because
thing.
A Liverpool player. Wait. I'm sorry. This is actually common sense. If we have now, I know we have spent a lot of time, but I need to make my point. I'm ready to spend time on this. If, like I said, Kepa is in training with Chelsea players. He's on the pitch to save penalty of Liverpool players. Two completely different things. Salah might play all his penalties to the left, but Kepa is used to diving right because, let's say, most of his teammates that he saved their penalties, he dives to the right and cut it. And then Tuchel and the staff is looking, oh, wow, he's good at penalties. Forgetting that they are not the ones that Kepa has to save their penalties come match day. So for me, that's absolutely stupid. If they had said Kepa has a better reach, we've done the research of where Liverpool players usually take their penalties, and we saw that even when... See, you know when this thing will make sense? Let me tell you when this thing will make sense. If Tuchel had said, when Mendy and Kepa both dive to the left and the penalty is played to the left, that Kepa saves it but Mendy misses it, when both of them dive to the same left, if that was what he said, then yes, it makes absolute sense because Kepa's diving is better and whatever. But if we're putting Kepa on because he guesses better in training, then I'm sorry, Chelsea is a joke of a club. If that is how they approach finals because of how a keeper guesses in training, then Chelsea is a joke. And another thing I just want to say is, the frame of mind of Kepa was messed up. I don't even believe that was Kepa to begin with, because Kepa would have expected to start the final. He didn't start the final. He would have been heartbroken. He would have been really... And so, bringing on such a person, I don't think Kepa was in the right frame of mind. So, for me, it was just messed up on all fronts to put Kepa in goal. I know you don't agree with me, but you don't have to agree with me. I've said what I want to say, and to me, it makes absolutely no sense. Because first, you've done it only once, and it has worked that once. It does not mean it is your absolute blueprint that you must follow every time and disregard what actually happens in the match you're watching. So, because Mendy was so good in that match.
You're making it so obvious that you are picking on what to argue about. Yeah, this is not about doing it once. That Kepa has been to three knock shootouts, and he has been the standard goalkeeper. A goalkeeper being, I'll give you an example.
Let me land on this thing. The Mendy, how? Wait, how do you know Mendy would have? How do you know Mendy wouldn't have won those? Chelsea wouldn't have won those shootouts with Mendy. How do you know?
Because wait. Because
no, again, how do you know?
Okay, wait. Let me ask you now. If you're not speaking from hindsight, before then, does data not back and Kepa to save those penalties? Yes or no?
What data?
Okay, fine, fair enough. Well, you see how petty you're making the argument look. At the end of the day, I'll just say this.
Because of what he just said. No, you're trying to even argue with.
Forget about what he said. What do you expect him to say? A manager that just lost the final.
Don't hold water. That is why I'm coming with what he said.
Okay, so we expect a manager.
Kepa is better in training.
You expect a manager to say the most enlightened things when he has lost the final. Of course. At the end of the day, bottom line is, at the end of the day, Manuel Neuer is one of the best goalkeepers in the world. But I don't know if anybody has the data out there. But to me, he's not better than this guy. What is his name? Claudio Bravo in saving penalties. But that doesn't mean Claudio Bravo is better goalkeeper than Neuer. There are some goalkeepers that are just better at penalty. And that is what Tuchel is going with. This guy has shown that he's better at penalties.
So that's better
finish
at penalties. That doesn't bring into research. It does not bring that there was research.
How would they not do research? Look at what you're saying.
Wait. If you're doing research now, I want to ask you a question now. Now, let's say there are two. Okay, another thing before I even ask you the question. You know when players are brought on to take penalties in shootouts, the pressure is on them. Mm. More pressure is on them than the others. That's the same way. When Kepa was brought on yesterday, the pressure was on him. You don't need to put pressure on your keeper, for God's sake.
Wait. When Kepa was brought on against Villarreal, the pressure wasn't on him. Are you seeing what you are doing? Man, like, you see, when he was brought on against Villarreal, the pressure wasn't on him.
Did he expect to start the game? I've already made a point of his mental state was messed up. Did you not hear me say that?
His mental state was messed up. How do you know that?
When he has been keeping in all the previous rounds, he would have expected to keep in the final. I did not keep in the final. You expect him to be happy.
Okay. So how do you know that his mental state was messed up?
Because he wouldn't have been happy.
Okay, so how do you know that his mental state? Okay, now I'll tell you, his mental state now was messed up against Villarreal, but he kept it.
Because he was not expected to start that game.
No. Now you are picking and choosing.
Final word on this.
You want to be the policeman of this argument. You want to police everything.
Final word on this. If you're doing research, I just want to ask a question. If Chelsea's team and Thomas, if the Chelsea goalkeeping unit and Thomas Tuchel actually did research and said, okay, once is Salah playing, you must dive to the left. Once is Mane playing, you must dive to the right. Like we've already agreed, so you cannot go on the pitch and do something else. Now, do you think that is the perfect, that is the way to go? Now, I just want to know. Do you think that is the way to approach penalty shootout? You do your research and you tell the keeper, you must dive here. Or do you
that's
go
not
and
let... Penalty.
The...
That's not penalty.
No. I'm just asking a question. Let me land. Do you your research on like your opposing team, 10 players, 7 players, however many you can do? And do you tell the player, the keeper, you must dive here when it's this player, you must dive here when it's this player? Or do you tell the keeper, just go with vibes and inshallah and dive anywhere you feel like diving? Because now I'm saying this because if you don't do your research and tell the keeper dive here, that is negligence and they are not doing their jobs. And if if you're making a sub based on vibes and inshallah, then that is irresponsibility on the part of Thomas Tuchel.
Okay, cool. So now, as big as Chelsea is, they won't do research. They don't have all those things to do.
So if you're doing research, why are you making the sub? No, wait, sorry. If you're doing research, why are you making the sub? Because Mendy has a better reach. Mendy is taller. Mendy has now. There's even a penalty. There's a penalty that I forgot who played it, but it was dead center. I know Fabinho played a Panenka, but then there was another player who played center, which was not a Panenka. And I told the person, I was watching the match in a bar, and I told the person next to me that Mendy would have saved this. Not because of anything, but because his legs were longer. So he dived to the right. Mendy's my point is Let me just say one more thing, sir. If you're doing research, you're saying Chelsea is a big club, you are doing research. If you're doing research and you're telling your players, okay, you should dive to the right, you should dive to the left. Now, Mendy has a better reach because he's taller. So if you are approaching the shootout based on research, there's no point of bringing Kepa on. But if you're doing it on Inshallah and vibes, that is when I understand Kepa coming on.
Okay, so now by your logic, they didn't do research against Villarreal. They won with Inshallah and vibes. By your logic, they didn't do research against Aston Villa and Southampton, and they won all those shootouts from Kepa making saves because of Inshallah vibes. That's what we're going with now. And by that same logic, Mendy being big, that means by that logic, Manuel Neuer, as big as Manuel Neuer is, he should be better at saving penalties than Claudio Bravo. But the data doesn't show that.
Because being big doesn't mean anything. Can I just say something? You see, you just shot yourself in the foot.
Okay. I'm here.
If Chelsea won the shootout against Aston Villa and Southampton and Villarreal because of data analysis and background checks on their opponent, then the credit should go to the goalkeeping unit for the research. That's if we actually meant to believe that Chelsea do research. But if they don't do research and Kepa just goes and just dives anywhere the spirit leads him, then yes, all well and good, bring on Kepa for every final. But I believe a club stature should not be going with Inshallah and vibes, meaning that bringing on
Kepa. What I'm saying, so they went with Inshallah
meaning
and
that,
vibes.
That's
why they won three finals, three shootouts.
And another thing I just want to say, if I'm even done with this Kepa conversation, Chelsea are terrible at penalties. You see when you remember when we were talking about Thomas Tuchel's 1 year anniversary late in January, where you were telling me he has entered three finals with Chelsea. You remember? And okay, I was telling you that is not an achievement. Please, how many has he won? Just one. He lost FA Cup final. He lost Carabao Cup final. Chelsea in finals are terrible. I'm not even joking. Chelsea have lost five of their last six finals, excluding Club World Cup and UEFA Super Cup. They've lost their last three FA Cup. No, they've lost three of their last four FA Cup finals, and they've lost their last two League Cup finals. So,
can I ask a question?
There's a problem in Chelsea in terms of mentality. Wait. They cannot get over the line.
Wait, sir. Let me ask you a question. How many finals has Thomas Tuchel been to?
He has qualified three finals.
Thomas Tuchel has been to, let me look at it. He has been to five finals under Chelsea.
How many has he won?
He has won three and lost two.
Let's stop. So now, winning three out of five finals, is that success? Just answer me yes or no. Is that success?
It's success because he has won more than he has lost.
It's success. Okay.
Because if it was the other
if
way
I
around,
give you, no, 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 no. If I give you 100 million naira, 100 million is too much. Let me not worry myself. If I give you 100,000 naira, and I tell you, keep this money well, and then I come back, and then you've misplaced 40,000, and you have 60,000 left with you. I should clap for you.
That's not it. You are making a different. Okay.
No. To me, success would have been if they had won four out of five. Now I'm not even saying go for perfection. Perfection is difficult. To win five out of five would have been almost impossible. But for me, success stops at four out of five. Anything less than 4 out of 5 is failure. Even in school, if I'm to write a test and I get less than 4 out of 5, I have failed the test. Like okay. A test of questions that a teacher should ask me. 3 out of 5? Are we joking here? You've lost okay, two so, finals out of so five.
That means Jurgen Klopp too is a failure now because even going by looking at it, Klopp has lost no final.
Klopp has won his last 4 finals.
Okay. So what about the Carling Cup he threw away when it was still called Carling Cup?
I said that was not the last 4. I said Klopp
okay.
Has
what about the one he threw away against four. Liverpool?
I'm listening to you, but you cannot police.
No, you cannot police where I want to pick the argument from. I'm picking the argument
Klopp
from.
Okay, now. What you just said now, Klopp has won 4 out of 6. That is success.
That's right there, success. That is not success.
For Liverpool.
How many finals has he been to?
He has been to 6. He has won 4.
How many has he lost?
I'm not counting it. I'm counting Liverpool. He has lost only 2.
Yes, Liverpool has.
Oh, he has lost. Okay, that means he has won 5 out of. He has won 5 out of 8.
How did he win? It is 3-3. How? What are you counting?
What?
It is 3-3.
What am I counting?
It's 3-3.
No.
Did he lose the final against Real Madrid?
He won the Champions League final.
Yeah, did he lose the Champions League final against Real Madrid?
He won the Super Cup. He won the he won the Super Cup. He won the Club World Cup. And now he has won this one. How many is that?
Okay, 4-3, Abi.
4-3.
Who has that similar record now?
Wait. I'm going somewhere. He lost his first. And how has he followed that up? By winning 4 in a row. That is a coach. Not Thomas Tuchel. That is a coach. Come on, what are we talking about?
Okay. So now, Thomas Tuchel achieved something that Klopp took 6 years for him to achieve in 12 months. So let's keep it, we cannot even go there
because Liverpool's squad was in tatters when he took over. Let's not go there.
Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. You can pick and choose where you want to put the argument from.
I'm not picking and choosing. Okay. The Liverpool squad when Klopp took over, was that a squad to write them about?
Lie to my business.
Lie to our listeners now. What is your business?
I can still make the argument. Wait now, I can still make the argument. When Thomas Tuchel took over from Lampard, what was Chelsea's squad to write at home about?
Are you joking? They were losing games because Lampard is not a good coach.
Okay, so now Chelsea have a good coach now that is winning something and people don't seem to appreciate it. Okay, of course.
And now, I just want to end this conversation with the fact that me and you did this count just before we came on air. Since 2003 that Abramovich took over, Chelsea has been to 34 finals and they've lost 18, winning only 16. That is an absolutely dreadful record. How can you lose 18 of 34 finals? How?
Man, at the end of the day, that is a very terrible record. And Chelsea needs to improve on that.
Now to the Premier League, Marcelo Bielsa has been sacked. For me, he should have been sacked before this. His nickname is El Loco, and that means crazy, the crazy person. And for me, he's actually crazy to be doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
I feel like we've said this thing enough on the podcast, and it was expected. I wasn't shocked when it happened because it feels like Leeds, they don't want to go down. They want to stay in the Premier League. So when it happened, I wasn't shocked. I was even trying to send you a message that day. But I think when I saw the news was early hours of Sunday, I was like, okay, maybe you're in church or something. So let me not disturb you.
Because you don't go to church. You're just letting everybody know. That's good.
I went to church, but my of church, course, my church, I'm, not, I'm usually back before 7:30. So
of course, because you sleep in church, you're back before 7:30.
This is I do attend Catholic church and there's 6 a.m. mass. So that's like
you wait. I'm supposed to believe that you wake up that early. That's what I'm supposed to believe.
Yes, because I love God. That's why.
Of course. There must be like maybe one babe always goes for seven o'clock mass or 6 o'clock mass, and that's why you're just timing that babe. Because if it's you will sleep and go at your convenient time.
No girl will get me off my bed by 7 or by 6. Of course. No, let's not do that one.
So what of his replacement, Jesse Marsh? I think this is a risk. An American that has been in Europe for just a few years in a relegation battle. Now, I have understood summer, like pre-season to plan for the new season, but in the middle of a relegation battle, I think this is a big risk.
Let me be frank with you. I think Leeds will go down.
I think so too.
I think they will go down. It says that their core players that they rely on, they are not performing this season, and some of them are even out injured, like Phillips and Bamford. So I think they will go down. Because when you look at it, Burnley look like a different team, and Burnley has like 4 games in hand. Man, I think they will go down. I just have that feeling. I don't know about Jesse Marsh and his record, but I don't see him turning things.
He was sacked after just a few months in Leipzig this season. That's his record.
Of course, you see, so like
that's his record.
And although
he won the double in Austria with Australia with RB Salzburg. Two times actually, the double 2 times with them. But I mean, that's that league. This is the Premier League.
Well, good luck to Leeds. But at the end of the day, I don't think they have what it takes but then
the only thing that might save them is that there might just be 3 worst teams. Like I'm looking at Brentford. Brentford are in three, four. Watford,
wait, Norwich. Wait, remember Brentford, you were bigging them up earlier on and saying they will not really
get it. Did I?
Yes.
I remember.
Yes. No. Don't lie.
Okay, yeah. I said they'll finish between 10th and 14th. That's what I said, right?
So now, are you
still possible? It's still possible.
Newcastle is above them now. 14th. Newcastle is above them with like 2 games in hand.
I don't care. I said 10th and 14th, and I'm sticking to it. They have Christian Eriksen, who is back in football, and we know how good he is on the ball. It was actually nice to see him back in football.
Yeah. It was a nice touch, and we're happy that he's.
Yeah, now say the negative thing you wanted to say about him.
No. I'm not saying like I feel like him alone can't pull Brentford.
Ivan Toney,
they've not been prolific as everyone expected.
Toney has been injured for a few weeks, so now he's back. You know, who knows if he can start scoring goals again? But we'll see. Speaking of teams that struggle to score goals, United 0-0 with Watford. See. Left to me, I don't even want to talk about this because I'm fed up with the United squad. But just to humor them, let's just talk about them for like 30 seconds.
So what do you want to talk about United?
I don't. I'm done. It's the same thing every week.
The thing is, at the end of the day, I would say one thing is certain, they are improving under Ragnik, but they are not being clinical enough. Let me just put it like that. They are not being clinical enough. And I feel like it will cost them because when you look at
did you say they are improving?
Yeah, I think they are improving. I think there are showing signs of improvement.
Ah, my God. So now Dubai is in hell. Like Dubai for Manchester United now, because they are the Red Devils now. Dubai is so low that Dubai is now set in hell. That a new draw against Watford is improvement.
No. Don't misquote what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day,
actually, if you dip it, if you actually clock it, if you clock it, they lost 4-1 to Watford under Ole. So losing 4-1 and drawing 0-0 is improvement.
No. Now you're not being petty with it. The truth at the end of the day, the way Manchester United played against Watford, you can see improvement, but the result is not showing it. So, but at the end of the day, the result is what matters. And looking at the teams that are in and around what they are trying to do, I think it's Arsenal that are showing the more confidence. But just to highlight something that happened against Leeds game, Harry Kane and Son Heung-min broke one of the records that has had a long that's been standing in the Premier League for a long time now. That is the Drogba Lampard record of having 36 goal combinations. So now Harry Kane and Son, they've hit their own mark, which is 37. So congratulations to them. But Lampard and Drogba.
Okay, so wait,
let me finish. Wait, but Lampard and Drogba actually won something, breaking that record, but...
Exactly what I wanted to say now, because if you didn't add that part, I just wanted to ask you, okay, so what have Kane and Son won with all this? Nothing.
So
nothing.
Record without any achievement is nothing, it's meaningless.
It's nothing. Everton's efforts at Goodison Park were meaningless because the referee chose to be incompetent once again.
What was the verdict on the VAR decision?
Okay. Let me actually ask that question. There was actually a phrase used, a very, very interesting phrase that makes absolutely no meaning. They said the angle that they watched was inconclusive. My guy. I watched this replay and I saw the ball struck Rodri on his arm. But people that they employed to sit in the VAR booth said it was inconclusive. Like, to tell us that they can speak English, it was inconclusive.
You know that same English, not clear and obvious. You know that nonsense. This is the same English, like, from the same dictionary. Like, I'm tired of all this nonsense. At the end of the day, I'll just say, you got away with one. City really got away with one.
City got away with one. Yeah. I think so. But then again, they were actually still the better side.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So now let's go over to La Liga. And I don't know. Some people will be feeling too smug. So I'm not even going to say what happened in La Liga this weekend.
I don't understand what you mean by that. Are you not the one moderating the show? What do you mean? Huh?
I just want to say, can we move on? There were La Liga matches this weekend.
What does that mean? I don't understand. What is that supposed to mean?
It means that there were matches played this weekend. Okay, for example, now, Real Sociedad won, Osasuna 1-0.
Okay.
Granada and Cardiff with the Granada player center. Okay. Sevilla won the Seville derby 2-1. Villarreal spanked Espanyol 5-1. Atletico Madrid won 2-0. Real Madrid won Vallecano 1-0. Getafe and Alaves drew 2-2. Mallorca lost 1-0 to Temo. Levante won Elche 3-0.
So you not find any you skipped a fixture, you not find it odd, huh?
What fixture? I mean, this I actually googled the fixtures and this is everything I'm seeing.
Of course. No
problem. Which result did I miss?
No, I will say anything, ladies and gentlemen. You can see how obvious and shameless this man is. No problem. Can we say anything? Can we say?
Okay,
we
okay, say? Okay, okay. It's not here. Actually, it's not here. It's not here. Let me check. I need to check Barcelona's Instagram page.
You need to check. Like, you didn't watch it.
I need to check.
You didn't watch the full 90 minutes.
I always forget things that are relevant to me. You understand? So
of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Now
yeah,
that Barcelona is performing. You are looking. You can't find any clubs with Barca anymore.
Okay. Barcelona beat a very, very disappointing Athletic Bilbao 4-0.
Oh, so now Athletic Bilbao, they are disappointing. Of course. Of course.
Okay, but to be fair, I actually called this on Friday's episode. I said I expected Barcelona to win comfortably. So it's not like I'm hating or anything. I expected it.
Well, I'll just sum it up by saying Barcelona, this is like every match you can see that everyone is improving, and this was one of their better performances this season, and Xavi is really, really doing a fantastic job with those players, and long may it continue.
Can we say back, or is it still too early?
Now you want to trap me. I know this is your tactics. I know.
No, I'm actually like, I don't know, so I need someone to enlighten me. Are they back?
No. Don't worry. When Barcelona have the transfer window they are planning to have this summer, we'll know if they are back or not. But now they are just building they're just trying to lay the foundations.
But something that is interesting now is I'm looking at the league table, and something you said in the last episode. I might not agree that they can finish second, but for sure they are going to overtake Betis because they even have a game in hand on Betis. I think Barcelona can finish third and win the Europa League this season.
Yeah. Like I said it so far. Like Barcelona have been very, very consistent so far, and with the games coming up, I'm interested to see what will happen later this month against Real Madrid. So if Barcelona can win that game, they can blow the entire title race open for Sevilla.
What title race? Okay, for Sevilla. Okay. Yeah, I thought you wanted to win yourself. Okay.
No. I'm not even talking about that. Which can now even leave Sevilla even open, even further. So if Sevilla don't capitalize and they end up going losing or drawing games, that's why I feel like Barcelona can now pounce and finish second.
Wait. The logic you just explained now, I don't understand. So they will beat Real Madrid. Wait. No, I want to get you.
Okay.
They will
beat
Real Madrid. Let me just recap in case I got it. They will beat Real Madrid to help Sevilla get back in the title race, right?
Okay.
But then Sevilla will choke under the pressure of being in the title race and drop more points.
Yes.
Than if they were not in the title race, and they will drop enough points to be overtaken by Barcelona. Is that the logic I just heard?
No, you see, at the end of the day, is a double-edged sword. So the way I see it is, at the end of the day, if Barcelona beats Real Madrid, they've made the title race open for others. But let me remind you, Barcelona will still face Sevilla at home. So now Barcelona can cut the gap. But if Barcelona still beats Real Madrid, like for example, if Barcelona will face Real Madrid, after facing Real Madrid, they'll face Sevilla. So if they beat those two teams, it will look as if the title race now is open for Sevilla. And now if they now go and beat Sevilla, now Barcelona has caught the gap.
I like why I like all these things you're saying.
It's not ifs and buts, but at the end of the day, if it happens, then I feel like Barcelona still has a very good chance of finishing second.
Okay, but something that is not an if is that Dembélé is really showing his best form. Came on as a sub, was booed by the fans, but I mean, they had to quickly change that because a goal and two assists as a sub is just... And even apart from that, he was actually electric.
So you actually watched the game and you were pretending. Of course.
No, I say I forget things that are not very
You forget, you, of course, of course. Of course, now you're not forgetting. Now you're remembering everything. Of course.
Shame. I mean, I'm really a fan of the serious Dembele that is, which is what we're seeing now. So Barcelona really look like they're back to their old selves.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
I mean,
I know the listeners don't know the club he supports, but let me say this. Will you now want this version of Dembele? Because earlier we spoke about Dembele coming to your club. So will you, off air, so now will you want this version of Dembele at your club?
This version of Dembele at my club, I'm still not sure it's going to be a starter.
Of course, look at this guy. You know why?
Because of his injury record, that's the only problem. Are we going to get someone that will just be fit for only 20 games the entire season?
If that's the case,
then there's no point.
I agree with you.
That's just it.
Yeah. I agree with you.
But remember, if he's injury free, he's welcome with open arm.
Okay. And like the truth is, I'm surprised the way Xavi has improved some of all these players. Even Pedri, like I didn't expect Pedri to be doing some of the things he's doing. Like everybody seems to have improved.
Xavi has called him the new Iniesta, so high praise indeed. Just quickly. Now let's wrap up with the Serie A. To ask a question on Scudetto, because it looks like the two Milan clubs are not interested. So who actually wants this title?
Like I've said in previous episodes, Napoli, they are bottlers, serial bottlers.
But they actually won Napoli this weekend.
Let me call the manager itself, Sampaoli. How do they say his name? Sometimes I get his name messed up. But at the end of the day, he's a bottler. Let me just put it that way. He has shown so many times that he can't compete with the big boys. So
I think you're being too harsh on him.
See, the truth is they almost bottled the game at the weekend, if not for Fabian Ruiz late winner.
But it was a big game. You can't call it almost bottled. We have to look at it as they showed great character.
A big game that you now considered at the 88th minute. A big game. No. That is bottling now. That is Brendan Rodgers kind of memo. You bottle things, diamond. And No. I disagree with that. Like if they were meant to concede, why not concede sins? But now you're just like
speaking of Brendan Rodgers, yeah. I remember betting companies were giving a lot of, I think Brendan Rodgers had the smallest odds of who would have been the next Premier League manager to be sacked, but turned out to be Bielsa. And it looks like Rodgers' job is safe. Which is mind-boggling because Leicester City are about only a few points above the drop in the Premier League. But sorry, I digress. You mentioned
13th or 12th.
Which is actually a crying shame.
But going back to the Napoli game, I feel like this year,
You will not believe this if I tell you. Looking at the Premier League table. Leicester City are only 6 points above the relegation zone. and they are playing Burnley this night. So if they lose to Burnley, then it's less.
Let me not lie to you. I feel like, let me put it like this. Burnley will not lose that game.
We'll see. I hope so because I have Pope and I have Verhorst in my FPL. They should not even want me.
Mm-hmm. But to me, Burnley will not lose that game. So in this, back to the Serie A, we have Napoli still first and AC Milan second. And they are both on the same point, 57-57. But they've played one more game than Inter, who is on 55 points. So at the end of the day, like I think it might just be... how do I even say that thing I normally say? The best from the worst.
the best of the worst.
But I don't. If I say best of the worst, I'm being too harsh because all exactly. those three teams are playing very well. Let me not say, but they're playing very well. But like, I don't
and
understand.
Then, that, Napoli like, Milan this weekend might just be the title decider.
Okay, but we'll see at the end of the day. We'll see.
So just before we end the episode, FIFA is the joint statement saying that they've banned Russian teams from European competition, which is Super League, and then the Russian national teams. So the men, the World Cup playoffs, and the women cannot play. I was put on FIFA to do this, and I can understand why. So I don't think anybody can have too much complaints.
Yeah. I feel like. I don't like getting into politics, but like you can clearly see that some people will say there is hypocrisy in this, in the sense that when Israel were doing their own thing, they didn't ban Israel their players from, you know. Like, at the end of the day, FIFA tried to meddle with things. They will say, like, let me just be like this.
You see the thing is, okay.
Let me just finish up. I'm not in support of anyone, but what Putin is doing is wrong. Like we've said on this podcast, our prayers go to those in Ukraine, especially our African brothers that are dead, that are left stranded. But the truth is, when if you try and police everything, you have to police everything till the end. So when you come out and say we don't want politics in football, but you still meddle and pick and choose the politics you're trying to advocate.
You know the thing. I think if you listen, if you obviously you did it, but like for people who didn't follow, so on Sunday, FIFA said that that teams can play against Russia, but it has to be at a neutral venue, and the team should change their name to something of Russia. Very, very stupid name. Like, instead of saying this is Russia, like as a country, they wanted them to say this is Football Union of Russia, and then they can play matches, but there will be no Russian flag, no Russian national anthem. Just like we saw at the Olympics, where this were under another name. So that's what they actually wanted to do. But they were put under pressure by Poland, the Polish FA saying they are not going to play against Russia. Sweden said they are not going to play against Russia, and to ban them. Because I think FIFA just wanted to sweep it under the carpet.
Yeah, I get what they are doing. But at the end of the day, like, now, like, FIFA is coming under criticism in the sense that there are various things that have happened. FIFA didn't want to intervene because they have this policy of no politics. And now they are intervening in this one. So, at the end of the day, like, you can't, if you want to police something, you have to see it through the end. But now...
But if they've made mistakes in the past, I think now they are correcting it. Two wrongs don't make okay. it right. So
in future... I think in future, for me,
yeah, any other country that causes war will be banned. That's the precedent being set now.
Okay, we'll see.
So that brings us to the end of the episode. Guys, please make good decisions in life. Don't be like Thomas Tuchel. I hope you don't allow all the credit you receive get to your head like Mason Mount, because if not, you'll actually be highly regarded when you're actually not that good. What else? Don't dress like Man United and tell us that you're making progress when we can't actually see anything going on in your life. Actually try to make actual progress. Anything you want to add, Leonard?
I'm just saying, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll see you on Friday.